He will indeed hold us fast. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Merv Campbell. I have not come from Ireland tonight to preach to you, although my accent might sound like it. I've come from Placerville. I bring you greetings from Grace Reformed Baptist Church just up the hill. We pray for you guys every single week. Why? Because I normally pray for you. Why is that? Well, if you don't know me, then I certainly don't know you, because I used to be a member here for almost 5 years. It's emotional coming back to see little boys that I taught in Sunday school and little girls now look like men and women. What are you guys feeding these people down here? There's definitely something in the air. But it is an absolute joy and a privilege to come before you tonight. When Steve texted, I thought he had the wrong number, but thank you, brother. I appreciate the welcome. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Mark. We're going to be looking at Jesus calming the storm on a treacherous night. So please turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and let's read there from verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. This is God's holy word. Let's come to him now and let's pray. Our great God, we come before you tonight and we ask that you would meet with us just as you already have. We've sung to you. We've had your word washed over us. And now as we come to expound it, we pray that you would send forth your spirit to meet with us this evening. We ask that this sermon would touch the hearts of those who need it. But we also cry on to you, dear Lord, that this house would be a house of salvation this very night. Perhaps someone is in this room right now who knows you not as their Savior and Lord. We pray, do a dealing in their heart. Young and old, whoever it might be, you know. Go before us now and help us in all that we do, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. This text tonight finds the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of a very long and difficult day. During the long hours of this day, Jesus had a confrontation with the Pharisees. Go back into chapter 3 and you'll see that. Some of his friends and some of his family thought that our Lord had lost his mind, and they even tried to kidnap him to get him away. And during the latter part of the day, Jesus sat in a little boat off the shore, the Sea of Galilee, and he used that boat as a pulpit from which to preach and to teach to the multitudes that had gathered to hear him. Chapter 4, verse 1. And when that day had ended, he called his disciples to the boat and he commanded them to get in with him, and they were going to set sail to the other side of the lake. Nighttime came and it found these disciples with our Lord Jesus Christ rowing across that little lake. We read there in the text that Jesus lay fast asleep. Now these disciples, some of them were fishermen. I'm going to say that numerous times to get the point across. These men were fishermen. And while they rowed for the other side, the Bible tells us that a tremendous storm engulfed their boat. They found themselves in a fight that we could say for their very lives. The storm that threatened the disciples that night we could class as some sort of superstorm. It was of unusual power and intensity. Why do we know that? Well, it terrified the disciples so much it made them fear for their very lives. Remember, these are seasoned fishermen. In that storm, on that dark and terrifying night, they experienced something. They experienced the Lord's power to deliver them from the storm that had threatened to take their very lives. Tonight, I'd like for us to get on that boat with them and learn some truths about what the disciples learned that night about our Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples found themselves in an overwhelming storm. It was so intense they feared for their lives. They thought there was no hope. But brothers and sisters, tonight, there is hope. There is hope for the hardest of cases that you may think of. And it's something that all of us need to cling to in these days. When we find ourselves in storms, when we find ourselves traveling and difficulties come, there is hope. Tonight, you're either sailing to one of two places, heaven or hell. But those of us who are believers, when we sail through this life, storms will arise. Difficulties will come, and they will try to tear us down. But I want to remind you tonight throughout this whole sermon that the storms are not sent to destroy you, but to develop you and make you more like Christ. The storms may grind you, but the Lord will use them to grow you for His glory. You might be sitting tonight and you think, it's hopeless. It's not. Perhaps you're already starting to switch off. It's been a long week. Trust me, it's been a long week. We're all full of turkey and potatoes and stuffing and all the rest. It's a Sunday night. It's warm in here. Perhaps you're already starting to switch off by my wonderful Irish dulcet tones. I urge you, stay awake. Listen. Because the hope that I want to speak of tonight is Jesus. You heard about it this morning by our brother Bobby G. I listened to your sermon. Thank you, brother. Sometimes as a preacher, when you come to preach, you can go, what did they preach in the morning? So it's always good to listen. So you got Christ in the morning, you're going to get him this evening. But there's hope. And so tonight I want to look at this passage under three main headings. If you're taking notes, Steve, you'll be very proud. I'm just kidding. Okay, the realities of the storm is our first point. The realm of this storm. And then thirdly, the reasons for this storm. So first of all, the realities of this storm. This storm that night was somewhat unexpected. Mark tells us that there arose a great storm of wind. Now, storms like this are very common on the Sea of Galilee, although I said it was unexpected. But the Sea of Galilee is an unusual body of water. It's relatively small. It's only 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. And it's 150 feet deep at its height. The shoreline is 680 feet below sea level. And because the Sea of Galilee is below the sea level, it's surrounded by mountains. And it's susceptible to sudden storms. Winds sweeping across the land and whipping up some 20, 30-foot waves. That sea can be calm one minute and then a savage the next. But it's unexpected because storms like we read off tonight usually don't occur at nighttime. So the disciples didn't set out in a storm. If they had iPhones, they'd have whipped them out and looked at them and looked at the weather report. There was no storm on the horizon. They didn't expect it, but a storm did come. Isn't that life? Perhaps you think it can be calm sailing one minute, and the next you can be fighting for your very life. One minute you can be enjoying fair weather, and the next you find yourself in a terrible storm. One phone call, one 24-hour period of time, one doctor visit, perhaps one tick of the clock, and you, yourself, could be in a storm of your life. It shouldn't surprise us. The Bible tells us that storms will come our way. Job 14:1 says, "Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble." John 16:33, "I have said these things to that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Where you sit at tonight, you're perhaps in one of three places. You're either in the midst of a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or perhaps you're headed right into one. You see, sudden storms are part of our lives. It shouldn't surprise us, but sadly it does. And the storm that night continued so much that the Bible tells us that the ship was now full. That storm was exceedingly, it was huge, it was loud, it was large, it was mighty. It had such ferocity. The parallel passage in Matthew calls it a great tempest. That violent upheaval like an earthquake. And the waves were beating against that ship. The disciples felt no stability. They had no safety. They had no security. These men are terrified. Terrified by the severity of this storm. But they're fishermen. Haven't they been here before? They were used to storms. But this storm was so violent that it filled them with terror for their very lives. That ship is rocking and reeling. It's full of water. They're afraid. It's the middle of the night. They couldn't see where they were going. They couldn't determine where they were to land. The proximity to shore. They couldn't see the other ships around them. They were in terrible danger. And what did they cry out? "We perish." We could say it another way, we are being destroyed. And what do? They run and they find the Savior and they cry out, "Help us, Lord. Help us. This thing is literally killing us." When storms come to our lives, often they're severe as well, and they terrify us. They fill us with fear and with worry. And they blow in, perhaps without warning. And they increase in their intensity until it seems that there is no end. Think of the storm of suffering. Three years ago, I had no intention of leaving this church. But the Lord saw it in His good grace to give me crumbs. There was one night we were driving to the Qualls out in the field. And we got as far as Bass Lake, for those of you who have driven down 50. And I had an attack in the car. And I had my two kids with me. And that is what made me move to Placerville. You see, suffering comes. I had no intention of leaving this church, but God brought it. There's also sorrow. Just recently in our own home, my wife's grandfather went to be with the Lord. Here today and gone tomorrow. You see, storms come upon us, brothers and sisters. And whatever it is, they toss us about. The storms come and they bring with them fear and anxiety and pain. When I went to the doctor and got diagnosed, I had no idea what he was going to tell me. Was I afraid? I admit it, I was. But you see, brothers and sisters, there is no storm on earth that heaven cannot calm. I stand here tonight and I am so thankful for this church. Why? Because I see God working among you. I see the faithfulness of men and women who are still here 2 years later serving the Lord. Praise the Lord for all of you. Been a hard 2 years, but we're still in the fight. You see, there's no storm that heaven cannot calm. There is no problem that Jesus cannot fix. What's the problem? Sometimes we don't bring that storm to Him. We think we can fix it ourselves. Tonight I urge you, whoever you are, young, old, believer, unbeliever, whatever your storm is, bring it to Him. And watch Him deal with it. If you aren't a believer, you need to know His saving power. You need to know His saving grace in your life. Come and confess your sins to Him tonight, because you may not get tomorrow. Believers, suffering tonight, you don't have to suffer alone. You have a body of believers here who can pray and read with you, but you also have a great God who you can leave these things at His feet and watch Him deal with it. So that's the realities of the storm. Secondly, what's the realm of this storm? We read that in verses 35 through 38. The storm was literally right in their face. This storm was real. When we teach Sunday school, it's always good to remind the young people that what's in God's Word were actual real men and real women. There's so much fable going on in this world today, but the Bible is real men and real women at a real time. This storm was real. It was right in the disciples' faces. They could feel that wind. They could feel those waves as they battered over the boat. They were soaked to the skin. As that boat filled with water, they were tired. They were overcome with weariness from trying to get to the other side. There was no pretend with this storm. It was real. When storms come to our lives, we feel them too. They shake our world. Sometimes they touch our flesh and we get sick and we feel it. They touch our heart and we feel it, and they rock our minds and we feel it intensely. These storms are real. They batter our lives every day. They wear us down. At times they can leave us broken and wounded. The greatest danger that the disciples faced that night wasn't the physical threat to their lives. The storm that they faced that night struck at the very heart of their walk with Christ. That storm was devastating. And that storm was the faith that they had in Christ. Look what they said. Teacher, do you not care? They accused the Lord of not caring about what they were facing. Why would they doubt our Savior? If you go back to Mark and you read through to where we are, they'd seen His compassion. They'd seen His goodness. They'd seen Jesus face and conquer every imaginable situation in life. And yet they still didn't believe. They were afraid. Those disciples should have known that a puff of wind on that little pond couldn't thwart that sovereign omnipotence. Do you know what their problem was that night? They were looking at their situation and not their Savior. They had their eyes on the problem and not the problem solver. But we're just like that too, aren't we? When storms are raging in our lives, perhaps we've questioned at times God's concern for us. You might not have ever said it out loud, but I'm sure there have been times when our flesh has cried out, "Lord, do you not care what's happening to me? Or if the Lord really loves me, why is these things happening?" I've been there. But He cares. He cares more than our little minds could ever fathom. The Bible clearly tells us in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us," this is you, this is me, "let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and help to find grace in the time of need." Are you needy tonight? Then come to Christ. He cares and He's working in your situation. Even though you might not see it, He is. While that storm is raging about the disciples, Jesus is what? Fast asleep. And they run back to Him and they wake Him up and they tell Him, "Get up. This thing is killing us." And they shake Him and they say, "Come on, let's go." Those men doubted that night. They cried, "We're perishing." But remember, it was Jesus who had sent them onto the lake in the first place. These men had left everything to follow Christ. And their minds thought, "Wow, we're all going to die in this boat tonight." Jesus didn't save you to abandon you in your time of trouble. The Bible tells us that He will never leave you nor forsake you. But tonight, do you believe that? Do you believe it with your heart? Not just with your lips, but with your heart. When that storm is raging and your boat is rocking and reeling, when those adverse winds are blowing, when the waves are crashing against your vessel, He will not let you sink. He will hold you fast. Why do you think we sing those words? Because they're the truth. He will not let us go. He is our sure and steady anchor, that bulwark never failing, all those hymn lines that should come flushing into our mind, that is Christ. That is our Savior. That's your Savior and mine if you're finding Him tonight. That's our God. And at times, we think that He has left us. But He is not. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of My weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When you are weak, He is strong. Those disciples that night need not have feared. Why should they never have feared? Well, verse 35. Christ said, "Let us pass over to the other side." Jesus had already told these men what was going to happen. He told them before that journey even started where they were headed. They were headed to the other side. if they had believed him for his words and what he said when that storm arose, they could have laughed at it. But isn't that just like us? This morning up at Grace, we're going through Romans, and we got to that golden chain of Romans 8:28 to the end of the chapter. Well, those promises are given to those who are found in Christ. But do we believe it? We can say it, but do we believe it, brothers and sisters? He has promised that he will take care of us. He has promised us a better place. Even after this world is over, he goes to prepare a place for who? For us. If we too could learn to take Christ at his word, we too could laugh in the face of storms without fear or worry. We'd understand who controls the storms. We'd understand and enjoy his peace even when those winds blow and beat against us. That he has gone before us. And if we are found in him, he is making a place for us in heaven. So if that's the realities of the storm and the realms of the storm, then thirdly, what were the reasons? Why did this storm come? There are all types of storms in life that we face. Storms of correction. Storms of perfection or instruction. But regardless of whatever the storm that we face is designed to help us to grow and to be more conformed to Christ. The Lord was using that storm that night to teach his disciples not about the wind, not about the waves, but about himself and who he is. And how majestic and powerful he is. He was about to display a side of his character that they had never seen before. They learned that he is all powerful, that he is a sovereign creator. And they learned that he is Lord of all. You see, the storm that terrified these men so much pose no problem for our Lord Jesus Christ. He rebuked the wind and he spoke to the sea. Peace, be still. And it was. When Christ opened his mouth, the winds fell silent. The sea became like a sheet of glass. And this storm was no more. That's Christ. Do you see him for what he is? A powerful, sovereign, sustaining God. And you might go, well, Merv, that was in Mark. He's the same God today. He still possesses the same powers. The storm that you think is so big that no one can handle, he can do it. Not me, not Pastor Steve or Pastor Robert. He can, and only him. He can silence it with a word if he desires to. He may, however, desire that storm to rage on. Some of us have cried on to the Lord for years for people that we know with back problems, just like my mother, with stomach issues, with migraines. And then we turn and we look at people who don't know Christ as Savior, and we've wept over their names for years, but we still do it. Because it's in his timing, it's in his design, not in ours. He may desire for a storm to rage until you take your last breath. But His grace is sufficient. He's able to protect us in the midst of the storm. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into that fire. The temperature turned up so much that the guy who threw them in was like crisp after. He was gone. Gone. But who was with them? There was a fourth person. Boys and girls, go home tonight and read Daniel 3 and then ask your parents who it was. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. Those lions that were ready to rip him apart. The Bible tells us God shut their mouths. When Jesus calmed the sea, the disciples turned around and said, "Who is this? Who is the one who said, 'Peace, be still'? And look, we're alive." They learned that night that Christ is the one who is in control of every puff of wind, every angry wave, and every storm. Christ. But they also learned something about His credibility. They passed over. He already had told them what was going to happen, and they did. They learned that He is good for His word. We were in our Sunday school this morning up the road. We were learning about Jacob and Esau and the promises that God gave. This is what you need to read every day. Why do I say that? Because the promises that are contained in that word will get you through your day. Because God is good for His word. How fickle are we? We make promises and then they don't happen. We say, "Yep, I'll be there at a certain time," and we don't show up. But God is good for His word. He still is. Everything that He has promised, He will do. He will not back away from any promise that He has made in His book. He is God. And He can be trusted to keep His promises to His people. We need to read those promises and trust them for what they are. When fear comes in, when anguish comes in, do not grab your phone. Do not go to your neighbor's house. Lift the only thing that's true. I'm not saying your neighbors aren't true. I don't know your neighbors. But lift this and read it. Find comfort and peace in God, just like the disciples did that night. They learned about His comfort. While they're terrifying and waiting to die, what is the Lord Jesus Christ doing? He's sleeping. But like some of you. Why is He sleeping? Because He knows that He is in the very center of His Father's will. He knows that He is going to die on a cross, not in a boat. He can sleep during that storm because He trusts His Father to take care of Him. He is peace because He trusts in the one who can only give peace, and that is God. If a situation like this didn't bother our Lord, why should it allow to bother us either? He is the Prince of Peace. And He's able to share that peace with those who believe in Him. That is what His promise is that He gave to us in John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You will never find peace in this world. You will only find peace in Christ. And if you need another verse to back it up, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We can't do things in and of ourselves. It's only through the help of Christ. But why did the Lord send these men through this storm? Why did He put them in a boat, fall asleep, the wind arose, He showed His power, and they asked, who is this guy? Why did He do it? Why did He teach these men a lesson? It was to believe in Him. He did mighty works in chapters 1 and 2. And it would have been great if they could have taken the things that the Lord did for others and applied it to their own lives. They could have said, you know, if Jesus can heal a leper, if Jesus can cure Peter's mother-in-law, if He can cast out devils, if He can heal the guy with palsy and forgive his sins, then I'm sure He can take care of this storm too. But sadly, they couldn't process it for themselves. So He sent them into this storm to teach them what? To trust Him. Trust Him at His word. And what about us? We have this in our own language that we can read, that we can grab commentaries off the shelf and have it expounded to us even more. It tells us all the things that Christ has done. And yet at times, we don't believe. Wouldn't it be great if we could trust Him at His word? But think of the disciples in the very next chapter. They see that man, that demon-possessed man, run out of that hill. And I'm sure they looked at each other and they said, and I say this in the most reverent way, He's got this. When Jairus shows up and he says, Lord, my daughter is dying. And then he hears that awful news. I'm sorry, she's dead. They probably thought to themselves, He's got this. That storm that night increased those men's faith. And He does the same for us, does He not? Sometimes He sends that storm to educate us and to teach us to trust in Him. It's not to hurt us, but to grow us. God has His reasons for sending the storms into our lives. I don't think I've ever prayed as much as I have in the last 2 years. When you're sitting at 3 a.m. in a cold bathroom by yourself, what else are you going to do? But cry unto Him in your time of need. You see, our duty is not to try to figure out why they're there. Why are the storms here? Our duty, brothers and sisters, is to trust Him. To trust Him that every situation in our life is according to what He has planned for us. I can tell you that's a very tall order. That's a hard thing to do, but that's something we must do. We must trust in our Lord Jesus Christ in all situations, the mountaintops and the valleys, because He is our only hope. You see, we're all on a sea, every one of us. We're all in our individual vessels. Boys and girls, you're not in one that joins you all together. You're by yourself. And we need to be sure that Christ is with us, because having Christ with us is the game changer. The disciples were able to call on Christ because He was with them. They were able to see him move in power because he was there. They were able to experience that peace because he was with them. Tonight I ask you, is he with you? Is Christ with you as your Lord and Savior? Is he in your vessel? If not, then come to him. Cry unto him. Seek salvation from him. Some of you have been going, Merv, it's great that you're here, but man alive, could you hurry up? Please listen. Christ and Christ alone. And that is it. Do you know Christ? Or tonight, would you rather have your sin and your pleasure than the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me warn you tonight, as we all should do, that if you don't turn to him in faith, there will come a time when he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those of you who don't know my testimony, Pastor Briggs was my old pastor back in Northern Ireland. And the day I got saved, his sermon had this line in it, and I say it to you. If you went home tonight and you're eating your food and you choked on a piece of that food and no one was there to help you or resuscitate you and you died, where would you be? Hell is a real place. People do not like to talk about it, but it's a real place. And judgment will come to those who do not know him as Christ and Lord. But tonight there's hope. There's saving hope. Come to him. Come and confess your sins. You might think, if you're slightly older, I have so many sins that the Lord couldn't save me. I can tell you now, he can and he will. There is no storm, no difficulty, no sin that Christ cannot call out, "Peace, be still." But if he is with you, then I urge you in these days, worship our God for his faithfulness to you. We've just had Thanksgiving. I had an Irish Thanksgiving. You guys had an American one. It's exactly the same. Don't just take last Thursday as the only day that you're thankful. If you're found in Christ, you should be on your knees every single day praising our great God for what he has done on the cross. He saved you from your sins. Your vessel is heading towards home, and that home is heaven. And he has gone to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. But while you're here, difficult days will come, trials will come, storm clouds will gather. Fierce winds will blow. Then run to Christ. Run to the only one who can help you. Call on Christ. Leave everything at his feet and worship him. Horatius Bonner wrote these words, and with this I'll close. A few more years shall roll. A few more seasons come, and we shall be with those that rest asleep within the tomb. And, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. O wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. A few more storms shall beat on this wild rocky shore, and we shall be where dangers cease and surges swell no more. It's my prayer that all of us can get to that place where surges and dangers will cease, and heaven will be our eternal home. Amen. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you that you're a God who has given us so many promises throughout all of Scripture. We pray in these days that we would have faith to believe all of your word and all of your truths. Dear Lord, at times help our unbelief. Take away any fears we may have. Help us to run to you, the only one who can help us in our time of need, and give us that peace. Dear Lord, we pray for those here tonight who know you not. Our heart's desire would be that they would come and know you as Lord and Savior. We pray, show us your might. Show us your power this very evening. And may you make this house a house of salvation. Go with us now as we part till our homes, and be with us all, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.